starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I've given up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to SBS News.
Talks cancelled and a blockade extended. Despite promise of further negotiations by the United States last week, the war in the Middle East doesn't appear to be resolving anytime soon. US President Donald Trump announcing that his envoys, Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner, will no longer be travelling to Pakistan.
Probably heard that we cancelled the trip. We have all the cards. We're not going to spend 15 hours in airplanes all the time going back and forth to be giving a document that was not good enough. And so we'll deal by telephone, and they can call us anytime they want. Again, we have all the cards. They have no military left, practically. They have no leaders left. We don't know who the leaders are.
Iran has also ruled out a new round of direct talks with the United States, and an Iranian diplomatic source says Tehran would not accept what it calls maximalist demands from the US. Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi says he doubts the US are serious about a diplomatic solution to its war with Iran, as he now makes his way to Russia for talks with that nation's president, Vladimir Putin. The comments follow the foreign minister's direct talks with mediators in Pakistan and Oman over the weekend, which he described as very fruitful. A main sticking point for Iran is the United States' ongoing blockade of all Iranian ports, and Iran's closure of the Strait of Hormuz remains an ideal tactical weapon. Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps wrote on its official Telegram channel,
"Controlling the Strait of Hormuz and maintaining the shadow of its deterrent effects over America and the White House's support in the region is the definitive strategy of Islamic Iran."
Iran's military warned in a statement distributed by state media that continued U.S. blockading, banditry and piracy would lead to retaliation. But despite increasing domestic pressure against the war in the Middle East, the United States is not backing down from its blockade. As a crucial passageway responsible for transporting one-fifth of the world's oil supply, the Strait's closure has sent fuel prices skyrocketing in the U.S. and around the globe. While Mr. Trump is appearing unscathed, it's clear US officials and world leaders are desperate for a solution to reopen the passageway. US Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth making thinly veiled threats against European countries over the weekend if they do not support the United States, despite failing to clarify what that support might look like.
You saw the, I would call it a silly conference, in Europe last week, where they got together and talked about maybe doing something eventually when things are done. Those are not serious efforts yet. We would welcome that. We would welcome a serious European effort to do something about this strait and this passage, considering it's their energy capabilities that are most at stake. I think it's a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call for countries around the world. Either you have capabilities or you don't. Otherwise, you're at the behest of a country like Iran, and the only country that can do something about it is the United States military.
It follows European countries who led a meeting of more than 50 countries a couple of weeks ago to discuss a plan for reopening the Strait of Hormuz once the conflict is over. But the nuclear question remains an ongoing barrier to the United States securing a peace deal with Iran. Mr. Trump wants Iran to agree to destroy its uranium enrichment capabilities to avoid Iran having capacity to build a nuclear weapon, despite Tehran insisting the uranium is for civilian purposes. Iran consistently expresses unwillingness to meet this demand and themselves are calling for Israel to end its attacks on Lebanon. Lebanon's Ministry of Health says the latest Israeli strikes on the country over the weekend have killed 26 people, as residents flee southern Lebanon following Israeli airstrikes. The Israeli Defense Force reported that separately, Hezbollah launched 3 drones towards Israel, which it said were intercepted by Israel's air force before they crossed the border. This is despite a precarious ceasefire which took effect on April 16 and was extended by 3 weeks on Thursday last week. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is effectively dismissing the ceasefire while blaming Hezbollah for violations.
Regarding Lebanon, there is an impression as if the IDF is not operating there. It is operating, and it's operating with force. It must be understood that Hezbollah's violations are effectively undermining the ceasefire. Therefore, from our perspective, what obligates us is the security of Israel, the security of our soldiers, and the security of our communities.
At least 12 people were also killed in Israeli strikes across Gaza on Friday. But these deadly attacks didn't prevent Gaza's first vote in more than 20 years from proceeding in the central city of Deir al-Balah. It's one of the only cities in Gaza not reduced to ruins by Israeli strikes, and only 5% of Gaza's population were allowed to vote. Voter turnout in Deir al-Balah was just 22%, compared to 53% in the West Bank, suggesting the election was not a priority in the midst of an ongoing humanitarian crisis. But 24-year-old voter Mohammed Al-Hassanat says it's a hopeful moment.
Today I was able to elect the people I see as suitable for this position, and God willing, Deir al-Balah will always be forward. And hopefully the rest of the governorates, the rest of the cities and the entire Gaza Strip will have elections and will be distinguished after the fierce war. These 2.5 years of war, destruction, homes and broken streets, and we will see, God willing, our cities better.
Katrina Stewart, SBS News.